In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the last few months, in my personal devotions, I have been reading the Minor Prophets. That's very unlike me, but it seemed to suit my mood. And so when I was looking over the readings for this morning, the phrase from our epistle reading, the day of the Lord, stuck out at me. You yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. You should be sort of having warning bells going off inside of you when you hear a preacher speak about the day of the Lord. We get it wrong. We almost always get it wrong. Anybody that gets up in front of you and says, this is the day of the Lord, this is about to happen, this is what it means, I tend to sort of tune them out. And so you have my permission. But that is exactly what I'm going to do. So take what I say with a grain of salt. My wife, Susan, has a saying that she uses from time to time, sometimes on me. The saying is a come to Jesus meeting or a come to Jesus conversation. These are terrible events. They are painful. They are to be avoided at all cost, but they are also necessary, and they lead to some solution, to some problem that has just sort of lingered for too long, and they clear the air. And I've come to think of the day of the Lord as sort of a come to Jesus kind of an event. One of the things that I do when I fly in an airplane is look down and imagine what it would be like to be God and see into all of those little houses down there and know who is in the cars that are driving along, and not just sort of see them, but see their whole story. See the fullness and depth of their life. What would it be like to look at this earth and see it in that kind of detail? How would you handle that? It would take a God-sized heart to be able to know that much of our stories in real time, all the time. Is he angry? Is he filled with sorrow? Is he happy? Is he rejoicing in what he sees? Well, Scripture sort of gives us many answers to that question. And the one that we just read is a very alarming one. This term, the day of the Lord, comes from the prophets, that portion of the Bible that I've been in. For the last few months. And to give you a sense of how this term is used, let me read to you a passage from the minor prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah, the first chapter. It shall come up to pass in that day, the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all that are enclothed in fine apparel. In the same day, I will also punish all those who leap upon the thresholds and fill themselves in their master's houses with violence and deceit. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that there shall be a noise and a cry from the fish gate and a howling and a great gnashing, crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for the merchant people are cut off, and they that bear silver and gold are cut off. It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem and punish the men that are settled in their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will do good, no good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses desolate, and they shall build houses but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry out bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. It will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither shall their silver nor their gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured with fire, and the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Wow. Is that how God feels when he looks down from an airplane? I don't know. I really don't know. But I have to say, sometimes when I look on the earth and what's happening, I feel a terrible rage and anger at what we're doing. We've had another mass shooting this week. How many more sermons do you want to hear about mass shootings? When is it that we will have had enough? Really? Is a day of the Lord coming about gun violence in this country? So far this year, we've had 307. A mass shooting, by definition, is a shooting where four people are either killed or injured that is not related to gun violence, gang warfare, or domestic violence. It's just sort of violence out there in the street, mostly random. 307. There was one in Richmond, June 15th, in the north side. One person was killed, four were shot, three were injured. Last year, 38,000 people died in this country from gun violence. 38,000. Since 1975, more people have died in the streets of this country from gun violence than have died in all of the wars that we have ever fought in. Does that make your blood boil? What is that like for God to look down and see that? What enrages me is that the people responsible for the laws of the land, and it is not their fault, but is it asking too much for them to have a serious debate about this? Is that asking too much? A serious, honest, non-political debate where they're worried about doing something about this problem instead of getting reelected and not offending the people that fund their reelection campaigns. Is that asking too much? Another thing that enrages me is the incarceration rate. Let me say that I do not have an agenda about gun control. I do not know what the answer is. I would just like our government to take a serious look at trying to do something. That's it. I don't have an agenda on one side or the other. Another thing that enrages me is the incarceration rate among white Americans is 380 people per 100,000. Among black Americans, it is 2,200 and something among per 100,000. Are we better than they are? Four times better? Or does this indicate some sort of a big cultural problem? I'm not pointing the finger at police. I'm not pointing the finger at judges. I'm just saying it is a warning signal that something is going on in this problem that is fundamentally unfair and wrong, and it hurts. It hurts us all. How are these young black men going to get jobs when they get out of prison? What are they supposed to do? This is something that is happening in our time, in our day. And what do you think God sees when he sees it? Does it make him angry? Is there a day of the Lord coming? I've just mentioned a couple of issues. There are many, many others. When I'm reading the prophets, I feel like this anger that I feel, sometimes I feel God feels too. And that is a scary thing. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "Sooner or later, we all sit down to a banquet of our consequences." To a banquet of consequences. I think that maybe that's what the day of the Lord is. And just as sort of a come to Jesus conversation is painful and nobody wants it, it also gets at the heart of a problem. The day of the Lord is not the end of the story. Whenever this day of the Lord comes, whatever form or shape it comes, either for us personally, or for us as a country, or for us in this city, it is not the end of the story. Let me read to you the end of Zephaniah. The Lord, Zephaniah says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing." This is the same God that was saying what he said at the beginning. This is the end of the story. Both may be true, that there are times when God does get angry, but that is never the end of the story. His anger is always ends in love. It points to love. It leads to love. In a few minutes, we will come to this altar rail and we will partake of another banquet. It will be a banquet of consequences. It's a banquet of the consequences of God's love in Jesus Christ. When you look at the world, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to just stop with the rage at the things that are going on. But there's another banquet that is being prepared. And it is a banquet of God's love. And those consequences, I believe, are going to be the side of the story that wins. I think one of my prayers for years has been for God's voice to be heard. And I've come to believe deeply that that's not going to be the voice of a single prophet. It's going to be the voice of God's people, all of us, speaking out when we see something, we need to say something. But the thing that we say needs to be undergirded. Certainly there can be anger in it, but it needs to be anger motivated by love, spoken in love, offered with the idea of redemption and healing and mercy and restoration. And God knows this country needs to hear our voice in that regard. I don't know quite what to make of this idea of the day of the Lord. This come to Jesus conversation that needs to happen in our communities, amongst ourselves, with our government, with whatever it is you see. But I think every single one of us is called to speak out in whatever way is given to us and address these things as God places them in front of you. The world depends on it. We are God's voice today. You and me, every one of us, each in our own lives and individual communities. God, help us to speak with love and passion, at times ferocity, but with great conviction and humility. Amen.